We thank you, Father, for what we're going to look at today. We ask that you'd help us as we read your word and look at it. We ask that you would help your word to sink into all our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of our daughters, named Amy, our eldest daughter, she's a very active young lady. She's always been from birth and started running, I think, at the age of 7 months. I couldn't believe it. And she sort of continued on with that form, did cycling, but now she's into running. And if you know Amy, you'll know that she's into marathons and ultra-marathons. And she does this ridiculous amount of training. And every now and then she'll give me a ring and say, "Hey, Dad, come and join me." And sometimes I've unwisely said yes and nearly died because she just keeps going and going. Oh, man. Anyway, still here. And Amy trained for these marathons and ultra-marathons and does quite well. So my big question would be, what is the point of it all? What is the goal? Well, I imagine Amy would say, to complete the race well, to finish well, to finish across that finish line, and of course, get a PB. You know, the PB, personal best, all that sort of thing. That's the thing that drives her. You know, in life, there are many things that we pursue in life. There are goals that we set, whether it be in sport or in our careers or in our personal life. And I want to highlight this morning a really important goal, and it is the goal of our faith. Faith has a goal. We've been looking at faith as we've gone through the book of Hebrews, especially from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, all the way to the end of Hebrews chapter 11. We've been looking at faith, the key to life, what the faith definition is in Hebrews 11:1. We've been looking at the faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses, the faith of the saints, and the reward of faith. But I want to go back and look at some of the verses we've sort of skipped over, and I want you to see this morning the goal of faith. You cannot talk about our faith without talking about the goal of our faith. We have a goal. What is that goal? How would you summarize that goal? I know in our hymns and our modern songs, the goal of our faith is well put by just two words, seeing Jesus. That's the goal of our faith. There is great reward while we walk by faith now, but one day there is a goal that shall be accomplished. It is the goal of seeing Jesus. How do you feel about that? Really seeing Him, beholding Him. Not only that, but beholding the Father and coming before His throne really and truly. That is the goal of our faith. That is where it's all heading. Isn't it exciting that faith is a goal? What a great goal it is. And it's a goal so sure because of what God the Father has done for us through Jesus. It's not like we might make it. We're going to make it if we've come to love and trust in Jesus. Or because of what He's done for us on the cross and how He's risen from the dead. And what about the Hebrew writer in chapter 7, verse 25? He even makes it like this. It's even more sure because it says in Hebrews 7, 25, Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, for He ever lives to make intercession for them. Wow, one day the goal shall be realized. One day we shall behold Jesus. And it's so important that we remember that faith has a goal. You know, sometimes I sort of think about this and I can't help but think, you know this thing about the goal of our faith, seeing Jesus, you know, that's for the older people, the older Christians, because they're not far from falling off the perch, so to speak. And, you know, they're aching and having pains. And so, yeah, let's tell them about our hope and let's tell them about what's over the finish line. Let's encourage them. But you know what? It's for every Christian. Every Christian is meant to be tuned in to the goal of our faith. Think of a 10-year-old. Let's just think of one age group, a 10-year-old who's come to understand the gospel and has come to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Should they be thinking about the goal of their faith? Yes! That's the answer, right? Yes! Why is that? Because the goal of their faith will help them, through all their growing up years, will help them to be rejoicing. Because this life is pretty messed up. It will help them to keep on track. It will help them to remember what the finish line is. It will help them to not be distracted from the things of this world. It will help them to live a life for the glory of God. The goal of our faith is really important, isn't it? It absolutely is. And so we should be thinking about this a lot more than we do. I reckon, my opinion would be that we don't think about it very much at all. Honestly. We're thinking about the here and now. We're not thinking much about the goal of our faith. And I reckon I've been challenged by the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is telling me you should be thinking about it every day. Because it keeps you on track. Keeps you going towards the finish line. You're meant to be thinking about the goal of our faith. We're meant to be gazing upon it, looking for it, longing for it, dreaming of it, glorying in it. How about those words? That's how it's meant to be for the Christian. And to one day remember that we shall come into the very presence of our great God and our Lord Jesus. And if we have been living like we should be living, then we have in Matthew chapter 25 some wonderful words that Jesus will say to us. Do you know what they are? In Matthew 25 verse 21, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." You want to have that welcome? Then keep your eyes on the finish line. Consider the goal of your faith. It'll help you run true. And there's another one a few verses down in Matthew 25 verse 34 where Jesus will say, "Come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a welcome. So I want to say, if you're not gazing upon the goal of your faith very much at all, there's a good chance that you are not running the Christian life very well at all. That you have a compromised life and a life that is contradictory to the confession you hold to. It's serious. We need to be thinking about the goal of our faith. I love how the Apostle Paul did. It says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Hear what Paul says. See what he's living for. He's not just living for how many people can I save today. He's going about the Lord's business, but always with his eyes upon the goal. You see that? On Jesus. That's what made him live so well for Christ. So this morning, as we consider parts of Hebrews, and then we're going to expand into other parts of the New Testament, I want God to really encourage you all to really, more and more than ever, to consider the goal of our faith, that it might spur you on. Okay, so we're going to start off in Hebrews. And I'm going to just see some of the way the Hebrew writer, through this section on faith, really emphasizes the goal of our faith. So I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read verses 24 and 25, which Ron read to us earlier. It says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more." That's what it says. We're meant to be encouraging one another. We're meant to be stirring one another up to love and good deeds. But I left something out. I left the last part of verse 25 out. He didn't have to have it there, but he did. Why? Because that's the goal of our faith. Why should we be encouraging one another? Why should we be spurring one another on? Because of the goal of our faith. It says at the end of verse 25, "encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's the return of Jesus. That's when we shall behold him. This is the goal of our faith. And the Hebrew writer knows it's so important that we understand what the goal is so that we might do better at encouraging each other. Let's have a look at another verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 and 37. "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." You see again, the Hebrew writer is talking about keep on keeping on, endure, there's a great reward, and one day Jesus is going to come back. You see, he can't help it. He can't help but talk about the goal of our faith. Because it's the goal of our faith that will help us to keep on keeping on. And even the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 is all about the goal of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is about thinking about where we're going, being around the throne one day, being in the presence of our loving Father and our glorious Lord Jesus. And with loved ones who believed in Jesus, they're going to be there. This is our glorious hope. This is what the goal of our faith is, being there. And then I'm just going to read a few more verses about this. I can't help but think of Abraham. Look at Abraham in Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. It says, by faith Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Wow! Even Abraham in the land of Canaan, he's not just thinking about this earth. The goal of his faith was to one day be in the city of God, in the glorious celestial city, in the presence of God. Even way back then he knew about this, and he lived for it. Wow, see the goal of faith just there all the time. But you know, the greatest example of all, we haven't got to Hebrews 12 yet, but I've got to jump into it just for a brief moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, I love this verse. I hope you do too. This is like the best verse, I think, one of the best verses in the Bible, especially in terms of living the Christian life. It says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. From that verse, I know there's so much in that verse, but just picking up one of the key things, do you see that even as Jesus walked this earth, he had the goal of faith before him. He had faith. And the goal of his faith was what? The goal of his faith produced joy for him. The goal of his faith was twofold. It was to completely obey his Father perfectly and then one day be at his right hand. And the other great goal that brought him great joy was being a perfect sacrifice for us, so that we could be around that throne one day. Jesus lived for this goal. It caused him to endure the cross. Look at his life. It's there. And I look at my life, I think, how often am I living for the goal of my faith? How often I get caught up and distracted with this and that and thinking it's all about this life. But the example given in Hebrews is constantly pointing us to the finish line. That's what we're meant to be gazing upon. And I feel that's something that we could all improve on. We so easily get distracted with all the things of this world and forget about where we're going. Like the Apostle Paul said in, like I read it earlier, Philippians chapter 3, 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The day when Jesus will call me home, that's the goal. That's what I live for. So may the Lord help us to live for that day. You know, I want to just say a few things. I want to say how, in the days we live, there are a few dangerous doctrines around. There are doctrines that teach us that the goal of faith is to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. Have you heard that goal? The goal of faith is to have perfect health and perfect wealth and material prosperity. Did you see that anywhere in the book of Hebrews? 10, 11, and 12? How come it's missing? Because it's not right. The goal of our faith is not the stuff here on earth, it's to what's to come, when there will be perfect health, wealth and prosperity in the kingdom of God. The goal of faith is not to have all our problems sorted out, to have a life of ease, to have all your dreams come true. Oh yeah, and of course the most important one of all in Western culture, to satisfy and fulfill your bucket list. That's not the goal of faith. That is just such a weak goal. The great goal is one day being before the throne. That's the great goal. And so I want to ask you all, are you thinking about the goal of faith? Do you see it in the book of Hebrews? You see Jesus operating like this. This is how we are meant to be as well. And I tell you what, at the end of this message, we're going to be looking at the great things that this produces when we dwell upon the goal of our faith. But before we get to that, I now want to explore a few passages in the New Testament, out of the book of Hebrews, that helps me anyway, to see the picture better. You need a better picture, right? You need to see more clearly the goal of our faith. And I can't help, you know, as I think about that, what passages come to my mind, I can't help but think of John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Let's turn to John chapter 14, 1 to 3. And this is Jesus' words to the disciples and to all of us. Even the very night when he was going to be arrested and then the next day crucified for us. Jesus says in John chapter 14, 1-3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Do you reckon this helps you understand the goal of our faith? Well, I reckon it does. Wow, this is telling me that one day Jesus is going to take me home. Jesus will. Wow. And he's going to take me home to a place that he has prepared for me. Wow. And not only that, this place that he has prepared for me is a place that is so good, he calls it my Father's house. You're going to have a room in there. Now I know the old translation was mansions, and I remember thinking along, you know, like, oh yeah, there's heaven, and there's mansions, and I've probably got a mansion in the back blocks of heaven, I reckon. Yeah, because that's how my life is. But then I remember when this truth dawned on me, you're going to be in the Father's house. Like, there's going to be a room there for you, Ian. Like, that's how intimate it is. You're forgiven. You're going to be right there with God. That is the goal of our faith. Being intimate with God forever and ever. What do you think of that? This is what should fill our mind as we live life. These are the words of Jesus. These words are faithful and true. And the Father's house, I just love the way he said that. I'm sure that the Father's house is Jesus' way of describing the new Jerusalem. So let's turn now to Revelation chapter 21 and read about the new Jerusalem or the Father's house. This helps us even more understand how wonderful it's going to be. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. And how lovely to read these words. This is the second last chapter of the Bible. And we read there, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem." Let me just pause. I reckon that's the Father's house. That's the city of God that Abraham saw. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband." Got to pause there. You know, words fail us, right? The best we can come up with is like, you know, like a beautiful bride coming down the aisle. Just fantastic. When my wife came down the aisle, like, wow. But of course, it's going to be better than that, but we're limited in how we describe this. You understand that? Got to think of something. That's the best we can come up with. All right. And then verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men and women, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be death, there shall no longer be mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne," that's the Father, said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Oh, wow, this passage just fills it in for me in regard to the goal of our faith. We are one day going to be heading into the New Jerusalem, and there we will be, and the best things about this place are, think of what it said there, there's going to be no more death or crying, mourning or pain. It's all done, away with. It's going to be like you've never known it before. Perfectness everywhere. But the best thing of all is that God will wipe away every tear himself. God the Father, what an intimate act he will do to us, and we will ever be before him. He will make his throne on the new earth, in the new Jerusalem. He will tabernacle, he will be with us. We will see him. Wow. Let me read a little bit more about this place. Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23. "And I saw no temple in this new Jerusalem, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." Well, that's, God is going to be present. His glory will fill the place. There won't even be any shadows. I don't know how it all works, but God's glorious light will fill everything. What do you think of this? Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible now, Revelation chapter 22, 3 and 4. It says there shall no longer be any curse. This is talking about the new Jerusalem. "And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him." And this is the best bit, I reckon. "And they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads." Wow, one day we are going to behold God. I reckon that's the best thing of all. One day, by faith we live now, but the goal of our faith one day is to behold the Lord Jesus, to behold our God, to see our God, and to be with Him forever and ever. What a day that will be. This is the goal of our faith. Pretty good goal, eh? It's the best goal of all. Accomplished for us by Jesus, ordained for us by God the Father. There's two more passages that I'd like to look at now that also help us understand this great goal that's coming before us. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's have a look at that now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 to 18. And this is a passage on the return of Jesus. And verse 15 says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Wow, this is the goal of our faith. The goal of our faith is the day when Jesus returns, and he shall bring back with him those who have died in Christ. And as they come back with him, what a coming that will be. They're going to be coming back, and there's going to be all sorts of things happening, including all the angels of God coming back. What a day it's going to be. And Jesus will resurrect their dead bodies to life. And their eternal soul will have brand new, glorious, eternal bodies. This is the goal of our faith. So that they can enjoy the new creation with a new body forever. Wow. Never die. This body is fantastic. And then, if you haven't been called home and you're still here when Jesus returns, then Jesus will come in the clouds, and he will then cause you to be resurrected, not resurrected, you'll be changed, I mean, you're not dead yet, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. These old bodies will become new glorious bodies like that. And here's the best thing. What's going to happen? We are all going to be lifted up, and we're all going to be with the Lord forever. That's what it says. "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." What a goal it is for our faith. That's the goal of our faith. To one day behold this. If you already died, then you're going to come back with Jesus. If you're not dead yet, you're still on this earth, then if you love Jesus, you're going to be raised to life with a new body and see the Lord. I don't know. See, all these things we're meant to know. We're meant to be thinking about these things. Now, my favourite passage that helps me understand how good it is actually in Revelation chapter 7. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 7. I reckon John 14 is right up there, but Revelation 7, I don't know, something about Revelation 7 that I love. And it says in verses 15 to 17. And before I read this, this is speaking of all those who have washed themselves in the blood of Christ. That is to say, they appeal to Jesus to forgive them. They have called on Jesus to save them. So it's only true for these people. And it says in verse 15, "For this reason," that is the reason, what reason? That they've come to know Jesus and washed themselves through his death. "For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the centre of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes." Can you see why I love this passage? It just fills it in so beautifully. And my eyes are upon two big things. I know things are perfect, like there's no heat, you can't even get sunburn anymore, and it's just going to be perfect. Everything's perfect, but the best thing of all is that God the Father will spread his tabernacle over you. It's like his arms will come around you. Ever think of that? He'll be drawing you to himself. And Jesus will always be there, ever being our shepherd, guiding us for all eternity. Wow! That is the goal of our faith. These are the things that we are meant to be thinking about so much more than we do. Okay, and I'm now just going to finish on three things that I know that come about when I and when you dwell upon the goal of our faith more than we do now. Alright, these are good things. I want to encourage you to think about the goal of our faith. Why should we think about the goal of our faith? The first thing I'd have to say to you is that it helps us to live the Christian life well. Can you see, as we think about our hope, as we think about the goal of our faith, it will help us to encourage one another to run the race well. And there's so many other verses I could call on now, but I'm just going to briefly say, to live the life well with the goal of faith before our eyes, I tell you what, sin just drops away. It's so much harder to sin when you're thinking about where you're heading. When you sin, I bet you're not thinking about heaven and about where we're going one day. No, we got our eyes on other stuff. And so this goal of faith helps us to live life well. It's faith that quenches the fiery darts of the evil one. It's faith that helps us to resist the devil. It's faith that helps us overcome the world, as it says in 1 John chapter 5. Faith! And tied to faith, the goal of our faith. Let's now look at Hebrews 10, 32 to 34. And it says there, "But remember the former days when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." Look at the goal of faith, receiving better possessions and a lasting one. Look what it does. Here's the other big thing the goal of our faith will do in our life. It will help us to endure suffering, to endure all that we have to go through by having our eyes on where we're going. See how important that is. You know, things are going to get tougher. How are we going to survive? Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on what's to come. That will help you endure. That's what Richard Wurmbrand did in all the suffering that he went through, and so many other countless Christians down through the ages. And of course we have the perfect example of Jesus who did that. Let me say to you those words again from Hebrews chapter 12, 2 and 3. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Keep your eyes on the goal. That's what Jesus did. And the last one, just briefly, having your eyes set on the goal of our faith will help you to run the distance. Hope you know that the Christian life is a sprint? No, it's a marathon. And it takes a lot of effort to endure to the end. I picked that up in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 37. "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Oh, I'll keep reading. "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." See again the references to the goal of our faith, of the return of Jesus, of the receiving the promises. That's not only going to help us endure suffering, but endure the distance. Keeping on, keeping on. It's so important that our eyes are set upon the goal of our faith. So what's the goal of our faith? It is Jesus. And not only Jesus, Jesus would have us say, it is being with my Father. It's being in paradise. It's being in that place that I have prepared for you. You need all of us to think about this so much more than we do. I know how it is. It is so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to just think about this life. And if you just think about this life, you're going to be going all over the place in your Christian life. We all desperately need to start looking to Jesus more and more and considering what he is calling us to, like the Apostle Paul. Going to finish with 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. Paul says there to young Timothy, some of his last words before he's martyred. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith.
In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And I know I've often looked at that verse and go, oh wow, because Paul fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, look what's in store for him. But just to twist it around, I am sure that what was in store helped him to fight the good fight, to finish the course and to keep the faith. Do you understand that? Like, that's what he was going to get, but he knew that, and that's what kept him going. Think of the things that he went through. Think of the times he felt like giving up. But because of what was ahead of him, the crown of righteousness, the welcome from Jesus, it kept him going. And may we all have that same vision, that same gazing upon Jesus that will help us through all our days. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for, even in the book of Hebrews, we look at faith, but faith isn't mentioned just on its own. It's so connected to the hope we have and the goal of our faith. And we can't help but, as we look at the scriptures today, we saw such amazing verses about what our goal is, where we're heading. And we are humbled. We know we're not worthy of these things. And we are thrilled, though, that we have been included in all this because of what you've done for us through your Son. We know that not everyone's going to heaven, but for us who are, Lord, all of us who are lovers of your Son, it is such an amazing place we're going to. And I pray for all of us, and Lord, I have to say, include myself here, that you would help us to dwell upon where we're heading so much more than we do. Help us to see the finish line. Help us to even picture the welcome from Jesus, him receiving us into his care forever. Lord, help us to behold you, the Father of glory, the loving Father who gave his own Son. Help us to glory in the fact that we're going to be right there with you around the throne. Help us to picture these things often. And as a result, we know, Lord, what's going to happen. We're going to run the race so much better than we are. We're going to be running with purpose, with joy and delight, no matter what we have to go through. And how we need it, Father. There's so many things in our life and so many things around us that pull us all over the place. So help our eyes be fixed upon the goal of our faith. Thank you for your scriptures, for the things we could look at. Thank you for the special time we've had this morning. May your blessing be upon each one who's come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.